Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to another edition of The Bible on Trial, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am sitting across the table from Rick Sterling with Dr. Don on the phone, and we are delighted that you have taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us here on this infamous October 13, Friday the 13th. We do not acknowledge the author of the use of that day, of this day, to essentially frighten people. But we are here to proclaim the kingdom of God on the earth. We'll be doing that in just a minute, but before we do that, I want to remind you of our website at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find lots of good writing by Rick Sterling and a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and Dennis Neufeld. We encourage you to go to our secondary website at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM, and there you will find lots and lots of good writing by Rick and the rest of us. We have a Facebook page as well, and it is located at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, you continue to open the way for us to learn what we need to learn in order to present the kingdom of God in the proper light here on this earth, so that people will desire to become members. We thank you for your Spirit, for your words through Jesus Christ in the New Testament, and your words, your own words in the Old Testament, because it is those words and that Spirit, and only those words and that Spirit, that can lead us to the truth about what it means to be a member of the kingdom and how to get there. Thank you, Father, for this. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And now, let's go over here. I'm going to click on that. And good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning. It's a beautiful morning. Greetings to our listening audience. And I'm looking forward to a great study today, because there's a lot of things going on in the world.
There are huge events happening, aren't there?
Huge. It's like a 1,000-foot high tsunami. So go for it. I'll be right here.
Good. And good morning, Rick. How are you doing this fine Friday the 13th?
Doing very well.
Good. He's looking something up.
Well, I'm just... thinking about what's going on. And a text that came to mind that I will start our study with is Numbers 14:21. This is a statement made by God to Moses. And it basically summarizes God's frustration when the people that he has chosen to become his holy kingdom on earth. Want nothing to do with it. And Dennis, do you want to read that?
I will do that.
I don't know what's going on with my... Anyway.
I'm just going to set it up real quick.
I'm going to go kind of the background of this is 2 years after leaving Egypt. And in that time, God had demonstrated that he was a God like no other God on earth. He was not like the gods of Egypt. He was not like the gods of Macedonia and the Decapolis. He was not like the gods in Canaan or otherwise Canaan. He was not like the gods of Assyria or Hattusha, the Hittite god, the Babylonian. He was not like any of those gods because none of those gods had ever demonstrated what this God, Yahweh, had done. He had taken on not the Egyptians, he had taken on the gods of Egypt. And he had shown, demonstrated beyond any shadow of a doubt, who the supreme God is by exposing the gods of Egypt as frauds.
And you know, Rick, it's fascinating that I have talked to people who said, well, the rest of the world didn't know what was going on in Egypt when God was doing this. And my comment was, since when did news like this never reach other people?
How can someone make a blanket certain statement like that without a clue?
Right. It went around the world like wildfire.
Well, these kingdoms were having wars with each other, wars of conquest to try and increase their, well, for most rulers, it was to get more taxes and, protection money from these other kingdoms.
Extortion.
Yeah. So, well, no, they knew what was going on. They knew absolutely what was going on. And God took all of the elements of Egypt that had its own specific God and turned it on its head with the 10 plagues. And the Hebrews saw all this happen. And then on their way into the wilderness, they saw the Red Sea divided so that they walked through the water between the walls of water piled up on each side on dry ground. And they watched those same walls of water come back together and destroy the mightiest army on the face of the earth at that time. They saw every morning, 6 days a week, a substance on the ground, which they didn't know what it was, so they called it manna because that what that means, what is it?
No, that's exactly what it means.
Yeah.
What is it?
And when they were thirsty, God gave them water in the middle of a parched, dry desert out of a rock that flowed the whole time they were encamped around the mountain, where they heard the voice of their God speaking, and it scared them so thoroughly that they told Moses to tell God to quit speaking. They had the voice of God recite the law. The law that was the testimony that would testify that if you kept every one of those laws, that would be a witness, a testimony that you not only had committed to entering, to becoming the kingdom of God, you were following through on that promise by keeping the covenant between Almighty God and the people that he had chosen to become his kingdom. And this was not limited to the literal offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Never, ever has it been limited to them. The promise and the covenant was open to anyone who was willing to meet the requirements that everyone were required to meet. In Exodus 12, verses 49 through 51, the same law will run for the native and for the stranger resident among you. That's a foreign, a person who's not a genetic Israelite, a genetic Hebrew, whose parents were neither parent were from the offspring line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the same law will run for the native and for the stranger resident among you. The sons of Israel all obeyed. They carried out the orders Yahweh had given to Moses and Aaron. And that same day, Yahweh brought the sons of Israel in their armies out of Egypt. In verse 48 of chapter 12 of Exodus, talking about keeping the Passover. The whole community of Israel must keep the Passover. Should a stranger be staying with you and wish to celebrate the Passover in honor of Yahweh, all the males of his household must be circumcised. Circumcision, when you read about what circumcision actually signified. You can find this in Genesis 17, I believe it is, where God told Abraham about circumcision. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant, and the covenant was the covenant of the kingdom, that you were in the kingdom of God, and that when God gave the law to Israel in the wilderness at Mount Horeb, that the law testified that you were in the kingdom of God by your keeping it. So the reason that God is saying that all the males of the household of the foreigner who was living with Israel, the children of Israel, must be circumcised was because they would be required to meet the same requirements that a natural-born Israelite would. So all the males of his household must be circumcised. He may then be admitted to the celebration, for he becomes, as it were, a native-born. But no uncircumcised person may take part. Is it then any wonder that Paul was so adamant that not one of his Gentile converts be circumcised? Because in his own words, he said, if you are circumcised, you are bound to keep the whole law, and therefore salvation by grace, by faith through grace, can no longer be offered to you because you have decided to try and enter into the kingdom, tried to be saved on your own works and not by the good works of the Son of God.
And this, my friends, is the heart of the greatest deception of any religious practice anywhere in the world. God said, if you keep my law, if you show that you love me by keeping my law, you will be, if you're not a member of Israel, you will be as if you are a member of Israel. Okay? What Paul has said is no non-Israelite could ever become a member of Israel.
The
and
promise,
that's the decision.
The promise made to Abraham in Genesis, I think it's 17, I'll look it up, in Genesis 17, did not include Gentiles. That's the whole basis of Paul's salvation theology, is that God had never included Gentiles in the promise he made to Abraham. When I just read you the text in Exodus, that shows and proves beyond any doubt that what Paul said is a flat-out lie. Okay, Dennis.
Let's see here. So let's go back to
Numbers.
Numbers 14:21. And this should not be difficult to remember, 7:14:21. All right? And here's what it says. The people rebelled against God. Moses went up.
This is the tenth time they had rebelled.
They'd rebelled against God. God then said to Moses, how long will this people, this is 14:11, how long will this people spurn me, and how long will they not believe in me despite all the signs I have performed in their midst? I will smite them and with pestilence and dispossess them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. And then Moses goes, Oh Lord, take a deep breath. Count to ten.
You know how to count to ten.
That's right.
Count to ten again.
Because you don't know what you're doing. The people of the world around us will see that you're vengeful and all of that. And so here is Numbers 14.
Well, Moses actually says, All these nations have been watching us, watching
right.
what you are doing out here ever since you exposed the gods of Egypt as frauds. And now what are they going to think if you wipe these people out in the wilderness? They're going to say you weren't able to do what you
now,
said you were going to do.
Here is Moses giving God advice.
Yeah.
All right. So God says to Moses in verse 19, pardon, I pray thee, and I will pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your loving kindness, just as you also have forgiven this people. I mean, here's Moses saying, pardon, I pray, the iniquity of this people. And the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word. But indeed, as I live, and who is he swearing by?
Myself,
himself.
Yes.
All the earth will be filled with the glory of God. The little stone. Think of the little stone in Daniel.
So what God
Daniel
just said to Moses in that
passage
is my tension to build a kingdom on earth, which is what my intention was, is, and will always be until it is accomplished, is what I told Abraham on that day when I promised and made that promise to him that his offspring would be blessed and that all nations would be blessed by his offspring. But remember what I read in Exodus 12:48. I believe it's Exodus 12:48. That you don't necessarily have to be a genetically born, or in other words, when you're born, have a literal Jewish mother and father. He's not saying that that's not allowed. He's just saying that that is, that the requirement is more in keeping the law of the kingdom, not in being born into a family group that has been selected to become that kingdom, that the circumcised male attests to the fact that they have chosen to become native born for the reason of accomplishing what God needs to accomplish here on earth, which is a holy people. And that's the bottom line. So what Moses is saying is, and by saying what he says, is revealing that he doesn't understand what God is really doing here, is, God, think about what the other nations are going to be thinking about you. It is important to understand and know what God is thinking, what God is truly thinking, and to know what God is trying to accomplish here on earth, and for what reason and for what purpose. And that is the core, the heart of what I have been sharing with you. You cannot have the kingdom of God in you if you don't know the God of the kingdom, if the God in you says you don't need the covenant to become one of God's people, that the covenant was only meant to show you how much, or the covenant was only meant to show you what sin is, so that you can recognize that you are a sinner and that you will always be a sinner and that you will never be anything but a sinner, and that sin is a intricate part of the fabric of your life.
And that you will take sin to heaven, but you will not sin again, but you will still have sin in you, because sin is ubiquitous and can never be removed.
When you read where God makes very clear, if what is in you is a lie, then the God, the word of the God, and God is the word. God is God, and God is a being, an intelligent living being. And God is what God says. If God is the truth, then what God says is the truth. If God is a lie, then what that God says is a lie. And if the word of that God is in you, the lies of that God are in you, it's because you've
chose.
Well, you didn't know. When you heard those words, they were presented to you as truth. They were presented to you as the God in the heavens, the true God. They were his words because they're in the Bible. But when you have been notified and informed that there are wholesome, good words and words that are poisonous in the Bible, in the parable of the wheat and the darnel, then you know that the enemy, Satan, is involved. This war that is going on in the spiritual realm has now entered into the physical realm. Satan conducts war here on earth of people against people. People who are divided along spiritual religious lines, racial lines, gender lines. Every possible difference between peoples, Satan uses to his advantage. And the only way that he is able to accomplish this is by getting people to believe his lies. Why do you think that the mainstream media of the world are all promoting lies? Why do you think that the president of the United States back in 2014 or in that range wrote an executive order making it legal for news media to lie. That's called propaganda. And yet, people watch their television sets, they watch the news, particularly in times like this. They listen to the newscaster or the news team that they have become very familiar with and think of as friends, although they've never met and they've never talked. But every evening or morning, they watch on their television and they form a trust and a connection. And then these news people read from their scripts. And their scripts always present one side of the story and ridicule the other. This is how a spiritual war is conducted. When the Son of God was here on earth, the leaders of the Jews, the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the vast majority of them knew who this man who was believed to be the Messiah. They knew he was the Messiah. In fact, Nicodemus said, "We know you are one sent from God because no one could do the miracles that you have done, but that they were sent from God." But yet these religious leaders were doing everything in their power to try to construct a case against him being the Messiah. Like, well, if we convince ourselves that he's not the Messiah according to how we interpret everything in the law and the prophets, then he isn't. And we certainly don't want him to be the Messiah, and he will never be the Messiah. And the same thing is true today. The religious leaders, pastors, preachers, priests, ministers, all the other identifiers of sources of religious, spiritual information. They have all constructed a word picture of God, spiritual leader. And they present it as an appealing process, bringing you into the presence spiritually of the divine healer, the divine giver of truth and information, of love, acceptance, and so forth. And then the true source of all lies has accomplished what he set out to do, to deceive the whole world. And he's very satisfied with his success. And thank God, he gave us hope. He said that there will be, in the last day, an individual who will recognize that everything that he had been taught before was a lie, and go on a search for the truth. And two verses in Isaiah would be key to the foundation for trust. Trust is the most important thing that you can have if you want to truly find the truth. And to know that the truth is discoverable. This is what you need to know in your heart. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. Yes, as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and do not return without watering the earth, making it yield and giving growth to provide seed for the sower and bread for the eating. So the word that goes from my mouth does not return to me empty, without carrying out my will and succeeding. And I want you to pay careful attention to that word. God does not lie. God has never lied, and God will never lie. Succeeding. What does that word succeeding mean, Dennis?
Completed a...
Accomplishing?
Accomplished something, completed a task. For instance, completed a set of books.
So God sends his word from the heavens to the earth. And he said, the words that I have sent to earth through Moses and the prophets, and last but certainly not least, his son, Moses, the law, the prophets, the prophecies, and his son, the testimony, which his son himself is recorded to have said.
Want me to read it? Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to complete. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth have passed away, not one smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all has been accomplished. Whoever annuls one of the least of these. Now, annul, what's that mean? Set aside.
basically make as if it never was the truth.
Right. One of these commandments and teaches others to do. See, I think of this verse. This is God's defense. This is Jesus's defense against Paul. Listen to it. Whoever annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, let me ask you something. What is achieved when you keep the law and the prophets and the words of Jesus? What is achieved? You then become a member of the kingdom of God. Jesus even said it in Revelation 12:17.
What does it mean, shall be called least? Have you ever thought about that? Called great and called least. He said the same thing or a similar thing about John the Baptist. Among those born of women is not one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is in the kingdom of God shall be greater than he. Least and great. There's a text in Revelation that is intriguing. And I've always wondered a little bit about, see, he didn't say that those who do away with the law or think that the law was done away with or whatever, he didn't say they're destined to burn in the lake of fire. He said they will be called least in the kingdom of God. In Revelation chapter 22, starting with verse 6, the angel said to me, all that you have written is sure and will come true. The Lord God, who gives the Spirit to the prophets, has sent his angel to reveal to his servants what is soon to take place. Very soon now, I shall be with you again. Happy are those who treasure the prophetic message of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. When I heard and had seen them all, I knelt at the feet of the angel who had shown them to me to worship him. But he said, don't do that. I am a servant just like you, like your brothers, the prophets, and like these who treasure what you have written in this book. It is God that you must worship. This too, he said to me, do not keep the prophecies of this book a secret, because the time is close. Meanwhile, let the sinner go on sinning, and the unclean continue to be unclean. Let those who do good go on doing good, and those who are holy continue to be holy. Very soon now, I shall be with you again, bringing the reward to be given to every man according to what he deserves. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Happy are those who will have washed their robes clean, so that they will have the right to feed on the tree of life and can come through the gates into the city. These others must stay outside: dogs, fortune tellers, fornicators, and murderers, and idolaters, and everyone of false speech and false life.
In the New American Standard, it says, and everyone who loves and practices a lie.
So you may wonder
and
what
now,
that all means, because I have always wondered what that meant. It wasn't clear because it didn't seem to kind of fit with what I had been told about how the end of time all worked out. In Daniel 2, I think there's a good explanation.
Something more than a hint.
In Daniel 2, verses 34 and 35, while you were gazing, a stone broke away untouched by any hand and struck the statue at its feet of iron and earthenware and shattered them. And then iron and earthenware, bronze, silver, gold, all broke into small pieces as fine as chaff on the threshing floor in summer. The wind blew them away, leaving not a trace behind. And the stone that had struck the image grew into a huge, great mountain, filling the whole earth. And then 44 and 45. In the time of these kings, and they are the kings that of the time we are living in right now. This is talking about right now.
Authorities.
The God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and this kingdom will not pass into the hands of another race. It will shatter and absorb all the previous kingdoms, and itself last forever. Just as you saw the stone untouched by hand break from the mountain and shatter iron, bronze, earthenware, silver, and gold, the great God has shown the king what is to take place. Now, what I see happening right now is the culmination of a plan that the evil one has had for his entire existence here on earth, taking for himself what was not his to take, and that is to be the God of this world, the ruler of this world.
And by the way, that reminds me of a country that did the same thing, or a people that did the same thing, took something that was not theirs to take, called it their own. We'll get into that later.
And probably tomorrow. What will help you make sense of what is going on right now is to understand what has been going on for tens, if not hundreds of thousands of years. From the time that Satan decided to take for himself something that God had created, this world and the people and everything on it. He lied to them, telling them he had created them and he was their God and they were to worship him. God had a plan that would restore his authority back to this world in a lawful process. The nations had been deceived and they were all worshiping, believing, following, obeying Satan and his co-conspirators. And God's first, well, when God started the process that would ultimately bring us here, it didn't start out well because the man and the woman in the garden did not trust God. And they're not trusting God, their creator, tells me they did not really know him the way that everyone needs to know God. You cannot trust a God you do not know, and don't fool yourself into thinking that you know him, because there is a process that you must go through to come to know the truth before you can know God. If you know lies and you say, I believe in the God of the Bible who created, but if you believe lies, and believe me, everybody believes lies. They all think it's the truth, but it's lies. You have to go through the process of learning the truth in order to know the God of truth.
And if you say that you don't need to know the God, that you can do all of this by faith, that is the signal that you are believing a lie as if it is the truth.
And no religious leader, pastor, teacher, evangelist, priest, any of those,
prophet,
none of them know the truth about God. None. Absolutely zero. They know of God. They worship a God they do not know. And the reason I know this is that's why Israel failed. Israel didn't fail because of the people. Israel failed because of their spiritual leadership, the priests, the scribes. The scribes had made the law malleable so they could kind of change it into the shape that they wanted, to control the people through information.
And to gain vast wealth from them.
And they were all being controlled by the God of this world, the Dark Lord, who rules with an iron fist. Why do you think that when the Son of God was here on earth, that all but a tiny portion, two people that I know of for sure, recognized him for what he was? And I'm talking about the religious leadership, not the people. There were a lot more people who believed that he was the Messiah. The leadership. Satan knows that if he can control the spiritual leadership of the world, he controls the people. When he can control the pastors, the ministers, the priests, the preachers, the evangelists, the religious teachers in the schools, the professors.
A prophet or a prophetess of that church.
And all the spiritual leaders of all spiritual practices and beliefs of all the world. He can control the people and keep them from knowing the truth. They can believe they have the truth, but he can keep them from knowing the truth. And if they're satisfied with what they have and what they have is not the truth, then he can continue on without being challenged. But what is happening right now? And I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about in this time. I'm talking about right now, today, tomorrow, the next day, right now. What we are seeing is the time when that stone strikes the feet of that image. I don't know what day that will happen, but it will happen any day very, very soon. And tomorrow, I will go into greater detail about how I know that we are there. So stay tuned and listen tomorrow. These are, as I have said every time after our study, these are the last of the last days. These are the days of Elijah.
Thank you, Rick. That was a great study. We encourage our listeners to go to our Blog Talk Radio site and check out our podcasts for the last any number of years. We have over 1,500 programs right now that are available to you. We also have, let me just do this here. We also have two other websites. By the way, we have 1,517 published podcasts. We have a Facebook page located at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group, and we have a secondary website located at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. There is no greater time to be alive than right now, even though it is tenuous, we would think. There is no better time to start your investigation into what is true by learning what is false. We encourage you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we will continue this discussion. So on behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis Neufeld wishing you a happy day, a great day, and we'll see you all tomorrow. So long for now.